Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm a social self-prez 9-wing-1, 963.
Hi, I'm Kaisa. I'm a sexual social 9-wing-8 with the 3 and 5 fixes.
Hi, I'm Sammy. I'm a self-prez social 9-wing-1 with 5-wing-4 and 4-wing-3 fixes.
Because N2, just reading it, I think one of the things that I really wanted to talk about and grab, essentially, but I wasn't making the effort to go consume any information that would spark that in me, is there's something super divine and spiritual about sex in dreams, specifically. That, I mean, it doesn't always image itself that way in a dream because it can be awkward or whatever. But, you know, when we think of other dream symbols as symbols, it is symbolic, the symbolic act has to mean something much deeper than what my brain can allow me to access with little information and resources. So I see that in this, and I think we could read some of it and talk about it. But I think I'd like to just kind of ask, what, since you put all of this together, what were your feelings on it? And I don't know, where do you get excited about all the information?
Well, oh my God, I have such a huge anxiety about the blast. Okay.
we're just having a conversation. You're not blasting.
Okay, you're just having a conversation. Well, I'm of course interested in sex, and I'm interested in what happens in the soul and in this topic where how Jung views is that sexuality and spirituality go hand in hand. That's just really exciting to me. And in a research way, but also in a very personally enlivening way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I did a whole bunch of consume. I have 6 pages of stuff written about this.
Yeah, I think what drew me to Jung's idea of the instincts is that there is a spiritual quality to them. And I mean we've been talking about that this whole time. We've been doing the instincts is how to really kind of spiritualize them, because you don't realize how unconscious you are going about them in during the day. It's you're so drawn to your dominant instinct that it's what you put your attention, all your focus on, and it's really unconscious. But it feels like there has to be something on a spiritual level as to why you'd be so entranced by it. It's almost it has you under a spell, sort of. And so then to have the explanation that because they do have a spiritual meaning to them, and are you in touch with that, and what is it actually, versus your conscious mind doesn't know but your unconscious mind does. So then when thinking about sex in the sense of my conscious mind knows this about it, even for sexual types, but then what does my unconscious mind feel about it, and what does it mean in that sense? And then in the spiritual sense, it's wow, there could be a lot there that I'm not consciously in touch with.
Yeah, the Jungians view it in a way that it's the desire to be one with something that compels us to seek a mate physically as well as this kind of spiritual path or this kind of spiritual companionship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, the sexuality has a lot of this, as you said, it has a lot of symbolic potential and a lot of archetypes that are in our collective, they are mostly in the shadow, as we emphasize this physical nature, like it's a transaction of pleasure or procreation, mm-hmm. which is, this could be embodied in the archetype of Pan, like he's half animal, half human. And so Pan is focusing on the physical sexual tension and the release that creates pleasurable experiences. And in the animal kingdom expression, there's a level of novelty in the sexual experience, wanting to expand the genetic pool and have variety. But this kind of novelty wears off in the physical realm, which can be seen as a decrease of desire in the relationship. So the desire needs to be courted and evoked in like a ritual that calls the passion back to the body.
Mm. And that like makes me think of like with, you know, with Sammy, you and I, we had like dreams with past. This goes into the pool of like past lovers and or just love interests or whatever, that it's like the unconscious trying to see that we're going back to the same courtship, the same ritual to call the same thing. Whereas the idea of the symbolic idea of sex and like sexual instinct, like I love how it's worded of just wanting to expand. So like your unconscious is so expansive. And you're only really consciously aware of so much, and you want to stay in that comfortable space. So like the idea with, you know, anima and animus and whatever, like there has to be something attractive about that expansion, but you have to get to it in a way where it's actually challenging you rather than creating the same comfort, because you're not just going to get a boatload of information that mm-hmm. you previously didn't know by asking for it. Like it has to be like challenging to you, you know? And that's, I think what I was talking about with the anima and animus stuff is like, it will be pretty painful for a while because yeah, there's the expansion part isn't always good stuff too. It can be bad stuff, but it really fills you out as a person and not just like this repetitive cycle, mm. you know?
Mm. Yeah, it's the kind of magnetic pull and the desire that these unconscious aspects and patterns have that evoke in us the sense of wanting to go towards it. Like these aspects would remain latent if they didn't have that kind of forced to pull us there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's too, like even with sex and dreams, like if you're having sex with someone and like it kind of feels off, like maybe, you know, if it's your high school crush or if it's like celebrity or like someone known or whatever, that or maybe it is a stranger and you're just like at a party or something, like there's something that obviously doesn't feel very sacred in the act of it. It could be telling of how you're still like the ego is still drawn to sameness, is still drawn to what I know, is still drawn to, you know, the excitement of a party or the excitement of just not being alone, or like, you know, there's like when you can get in touch with like the intention of the sexual whatever event that happens in a dream, like if you're in touch with the intention of why, sometimes that can reveal like if you're actually accessing something expansive or something that's just kind of familiar, you know.
Mm-hmm. I could say more about the archetypes
mm-hmm.
of that relate to sex and this kind of like loving partnership. Like, as we know, archetypes are patterns that entail thousands of years of human experience, or, well, if seen in a spiritual sense, it's also possible that when the universe was created, these archetypes were already created as a pattern, and these kind of patterns are molding our existence. And this seems to be the case, especially what's behind the archetype of sex. It comes down to the union of two opposites that birth some kind of third thing. And the third thing is something that emerges that is not diminishing either of the opposites, but relieves the tension and is something new. Mm. And this kind of Shiva and Shakti and their union, for example, are an archetype. It's like she's providing the forms. Shakti is providing the form for Shiva's undifferentiated light. So there's the theme of feminine, masculine, matter, and spirit once again. And yeah, I talked about the pan, but other notable like archetypal energies regarding sexuality could be that are like a little bit less talked about. Well, Pothos, for one, the god of love and longing. It's this kind of singular, undifferentiated light, longing for completeness and this recognition that there is something missing on a profound level. And there's an image of primal wholeness that gives energy for us to find what fills the missing part, whether it's through sexual union or our own union with our inner other. And it brings out a sense of peace that is felt in like body, mind, and heart in all centers. And Eros then is a drive for companionship. It's this kind of vitalizing joy and pleasure found in exchange. And it's not confined to sexual union. It can be found in any kind of relatedness, connection, and force of attraction. It's the energy of love, passion, and desire for union. And it's like a fundamental aspect of the human psyche that represents the urge for life and growth and integration of the opposites. Jung actually distinguishes two principles, like Eros and Logos. And Logos is then related to order, logic, and differentiation, whereas Eros is connection, emotion, and the unifying force. And so, yeah, we want to include the energies of Eros and Pothos, this kind of spiritual longing, spiritual relatedness, into our sexual union in order to realize like deeper aspects of the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not just like a physical transaction. I mean, but I guess there's nothing wrong with having it that way. It comes down to whether it's the individual's choice to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or we need to know all the kind of infinite possible ways that this union could happen, and then we can choose one that resonates. If it's physical pleasure, then go for it. But at least it's important to know, because the way that it's seen in our culture is very unilateral, which is why it's important to excavate these archetypes and look into what's happening in this in-between space with ourselves and our loved one. Like, what's constellating in the space? What kind of energy is there? what kind of nuance is in that connection? What are the subtle energy transfers between us, as well as with our own unconscious and our own spiritual path? They are the same energies that resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we exist simultaneously in two planes. It's with the external world, with our partner, but then there's also happening this inner realm of experience, our own inner journey to our unconscious and the layers of ourselves. And it's a beautiful thing when in this shared space of existence, we can get to know our own innermost layers and share them.
Mm-hmm. And too, like, just even understanding and being in touch with our desire and our longing, that, like, are we being honest with it? Are we honoring it? Are we, is it like an honest thing, or is it a wound that we're playing out? Is it a part that we feel as if we're missing or lacking? And that all gets put onto other people, whether they're your partner or not, like whether there's a sexual interest or not, like you are putting that on to other people. And in return, like you're doing something to yourself as well. So like having, you know, dream imagery to work on and like witness and whatever is just like, where's the intention really at? Like, where's my desire really at? And is it something that's replaying an old pattern, or is it something that's really opening me up to something more expansive? And if it's not that, it's not like that's wrong. It's just then how do I get there? How do I embrace that? How do I find something new? How can I be more present with my partner, with my friends, with myself? You know, like there's so much unconscious stuff that you're like not even aware of that dreams can really help show what the real intention is. It's just in like the most fucking cryptic way possible. And that I like the idea of archetypes. I didn't even like, I know that they exist, but I think especially in the sexual instinct, it's going to be huge with really getting in touch with what they are and how they're playing out, like in a relationship, in a potential relationship, in your sense of sexuality itself, in your comfortability with yourself, in your body, in your spiritual connection. Like, wow, that covers a lot of ground to chew on with dreams that will come up or situations that come up that really provoke unconscious material.
I feel provoked right now just listening to this. This is hitting some deep wounds.
Sammy, you look provoked right now.
Really?
What's coming up for you?
I think I've always kind of known this, but just hearing it so pointedly, like going back to what you were talking about Pan, like I'm not opening up to new, just to new in general when it comes to desire and this whole topic. Like all of my dreams have been about the past, like past crushes, past like people in my life. And, you know, like as we're talking, I'm like thinking to myself, like, what was it about those people? Like, obviously, like that's part of what we've been talking about through this whole podcast, but it's like coming up stronger now, like with this stuff. And I don't know why. I don't know. It's like if all of my feelings of desire was like put on a plate, like as food for me to eat, I'd be shoving it away, basically. I don't, you know what I mean? So, I would just be like, no, get away.
I love how you are finding like creative ways to accommodate the sexuality to your instincts. It's beautiful.
If my desires were presented to me in a box of pizza, I'd throw that fucking box in the goddamn trash. Fuck that shit. Don't want your pizza.
I just want the same old flavor again and again to ignore all of this that's happening.
I've got new frozen food. Pizza in my freezer. I don't need your fucking fresh pizza.
Yeah, but that's what it feels like. It started with the pan, and now it's like I'm realizing more and more.
Girl, you need that eggplant.
Apparently. Fuck the pizza.
Oh my God. Well, it's also like sometimes it's easy to conceptualize this, but then to like actually put it into day-to-day stuff, like when you go about your day-to-day or what happens tomorrow or the next day, like to actually let it like move something in you when you're in your comfort zone spot. Like all of us, anybody in general, like to actually have it do something there can be really hard too. And that's maybe too why you've had like a lot of past people in the dream, is because like the day-to-day stuff is like, okay, here we go in the cycle, in the pattern and whatever. And like to have something drop in and disturb that would be chaos. It'd be chaos.
Well, one thing I also noticed in some of your dreams is what is very common to women, actually, that there was not a sense of this kind of emotional presence in the sexual encounters, which left you feeling very neglected. And there's probably a lot of resentment in that. And like, I hope it's okay if I try to say like in a broader sense, like there was one dream, for example, when you, was it like you got really angry when you were underwater and there you were able to speak, but when you got out of the water, your parents came to yell at you or something, and there you were not able to like speak. So like in the wetness of the emotions in the water, you were in touch with your voice, your anger, but it speaks of like a loss of that connection. And that's where many women encounter a loss of desire, when there are these kind of misses and losses that come out as resentment that's not voiced. So like getting in touch with the anger is when you can honestly say yes. When there's nothing that's like creating a wall between you and the desire.
Wow, that's hitting me too.
Yeah. And I guess for men, there seems to be like a big wound collectively in that they have early experiences of like rejection or being a recipient of repulsion. But they don't have the kind of connected network where they could talk about this. So they get very alone with these things. They don't have anyone who talks to you about these things. And it can be like a very big hatred aimed towards oneself. Mm-hmm. And it's like a different flavor that women have. But I think they interestingly both speak to like a similar thing with the sexual overlap with nine. So getting in touch with the anger, getting in touch with your own being dramatic. And it's interesting because in the Bhava Chakra, as David put it, the snake sin is hatred. So I was thinking about the connection where you need to be in touch of your own like anger, but also this kind of own repulsion, and recognize that when something is hitting that repulsion button in our own sexuality, like as much as we need to know what we are attracted to, we also need to know when we are repulsed by something. Mm-hmm. And we need to take note of that and like act accordingly, be in touch with that.
That's really good. One thing I realized too
as you were talking and as I was like trying to process like everything we've talked about in this episode so far, is like with a lot of the people from my past, I had to ask myself, like, was I actually attracted to them? And I don't think I was. Mm-hmm. I saw sameness. I saw sameness in them. I saw something of myself in them and became attracted to that mirroring. Mm-hmm. But there was no like physical, like chemical, like attraction, you know? Right. And then I think of people who like I have been like very physically attracted to, where like I felt like I couldn't see myself in them. Like they had something I was missing and I couldn't really talk to them or be comfortable around them. And yet like all my dreams are about the people who I have like good like friendships with, like, but not like chemistry, like sexual chemistry with, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's like a big thing I like just realized for some reason.
Well, it kind of reminds me too, like, because we did this off recording, off screen, but Sammy and I showed each other our high school crushes, like their pictures. And it's just, it reminds me of like, you know, I feel like a lot of people could probably relate that it's just like, yeah, sure, a person's cute, but that's not attractive. Like cute mm-hmm. is not attractive. Like if someone really has to like offer something about their energy and their spirit that is attractive, that is just like so interesting. And then, because that really reflects a part of you that has been previously unexplored. And like those previously unexplored places are not just cute or mm-hmm. hot or something like that. It's like a whole energetic field that mm-hmm. is way different and other. And that's why it becomes so desirable. And the same with being repulsed. Like there are times where that can also be incredibly repulsive too. It's just like, whoa, don't want to fucking touch that. And there could be a reason, like there's something that could really fuck up the genetic pool per se, that like both symbolically and maybe in life it could be literally, but like, you know what, like there's a bigger energy to attraction than just, yeah, you're cute. The bros.
Or if you're self-res social, they have like a common interest in something and you're like, oh, I'm attracted to him now. Like totally ignoring everything like, else.
Oh my God, we both like food. We have so much in common.
We like the same TV show. Guess I have to have a crush on you now. It's like,
I guess we have to have sex now. We just have to have sex because we like the same TV show. Oh God, that's terrible.
It's really, I know, it's bad.
Well, no, I mean, mine's bad too. I've obviously, because I had previously and throughout the years, like sex dreams with fucking celebrities. So it's like quite obvious, like nine wanting to be exposed and seen on a level of social hierarchy. And it's like, that's fucking stupid too. And there's no love there. That's the thing. Like there's, I mean, I have self-pres middle, so like the body thing can be a bit more distant for me, but like especially with like Eros and that kind of like that deep love and stuff, like that doesn't exist there. Like that doesn't exist there. And the body stuff is just like, you know, secondhand, like it's not important. I'm not in touch with mine. I'm not in touch with there. It's just like it's a total miss. I'm just repeating missed stuff because I want an expectation that I know, or like a feeling that I know. Like I think of like getting in touch with a type of feeling you get from something like that. And it's like, yeah, I want that. But that's still kind of like a known thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not leaving much room for that mystery and that third element to be something different and unknown and new.
Well, I was thinking when you talked about like dreams with celebrities,
yeah, sick.
And or like, I don't know, bonding over food or something. It kind of misses the element of profound vulnerability that comes mm-hmm. in this kind very of sexual true. Union, where mm-hmm. the boundaries of the physical transcend and you end up kind of sharing a nervous system. Mm. It's in even physically, or your nervous system becomes synchronized. Your breathing, your heart rate, everything becomes synchronized. And it's the same in a psycho-spiritual sense. It becomes a space of shared emotion, shared experience. And it's incredibly vulnerable and scary, which is why it's often easier to connect in a way that doesn't risk this kind of vulnerability or closeness.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
It's a space where we also have to meet ourselves. Mm-hmm. And not all of us are ready for that.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true.
I'm talking as if I know shit about this. I just did a bunch
That's
of
blasting. You That's do. Blasting, baby.
You do. I was just thinking, like, you're being so casual, but like you're saying things that have like profound insight, like every sentence. And I'm like, oh my God, like she's just so casual about it. How is she so casual about it? But you know what you're talking. You're the only sexual dominant person here. Like you. Even if you haven't done the research, like it's literally like coded in your wiring to like know about this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
well, it's also coded in my wiring to do the research. I've actually done intense research.
Mm-hmm. You've done both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and too, like, I mean, you have the contra sexual blind here to tell you all the time that like, sexual types will also be missing this in some way sometimes too. So it's like, you know, all sexual types are accessing that vulnerable space you talk about, because they're, you know, projecting. And so that's why I even say getting in touch with like, what's the intention here? Are you projecting something? Are you trying to reach some kind of sameness too? And it's under the disguise of being spontaneous. Like you already know all that stuff too. I talk about things that I have not put into practice like perfectly, but the fact that it's really coming from a place of like soul that like, I might not know what I'm saying and whatever, but like somewhere deep inside me knows that like, maybe this is just nine God consciousness or something. like you do know if it feels like that's where it's at and that's true. Like, yeah, then that, you don't have to prove that to me. I can hear it.
Well, when I said that I'm talking as if I know shit about it, I meant it to say that like my sex life is far from perfect. It's like I'm not speaking as if like I always have some kind of enlightened sex all the time. Because that's not what's happening.
A sexual type to make things sexual, whereas the socials are like, oh, you're doing the social thing so good.
Right.
I don't even have sex in mind, as you say. Well, I'm not retracting anything I said anyway. It still applies. But anyway, what are these ideas with, like, I like what is written about the other. Because we're kind of already talking about that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, I could.
Especially with tension. I like to maybe talk a bit about tension and what that means with the sexual instinct and having sex and dreams. Because there's a lot about tension that, you know, people talk about, but it's kind of like vague or too much of a tangible thing. Like maybe there's a symbolic way we can talk about that too.
Yeah, maybe I'll just read what I was writing.
That's totally fine.
Okay, so sexual other is imagined inside our psyche, and because it holds so much energy and vitality, it drives us out in the external world to search for approximations of that inner aspect. Mm-hmm. And the divine other or the erotic other land on some particular people, and we become very attracted and engage in this dance with them. And when we enter into a dialogue with these figures in the inner realm that is separate from the social or sexual connection in the external, that's where we can like get to know the in-between space of our own inner path and not be relying on the external sources for it.
Right, because that's kind of like where the information that we're talking about really is.
Yes.
Hmm.
So there is this energy of the beloved, and well, the energy of the beloved archetypally is like this kind of divine union. We can search for it in our own inner realm or in the outer objects. And there comes a whole lot of tension with it, and the psyche tries to manage these tensions. So all kinds of images or objects can be libidinized. Even food, Sammy, can be an erotic experience. And there can be a there can be, for example, a compulsive oral relationship with food, because it holds the matter of mother, how is it, the primal mother.
Mm-hmm. Which we learned about a little bit in the self-prez episodes too, how important that can be. I mean, and that would make sense because tying it into the sexual instinct, because I, you know, they're obviously all related, that there's that idea that mother really gives us nurturance and affection, like a relationship could too, like give us a deep kind of nurturance and affection that we don't realize we really need or that we want or that we're lacking. Like there's something too that we're out of touch with that we're projecting into these other things. It all comes back to the mother. Yeah. So that, I think we kind of talked about that a bit with Sammy, that dream that you had with the high school crush and your mother standing together.
Oh yeah.
There's that kind of, I think a lot of people really have that. Like and especially now during times where lots of people are really lonely and you can only really connect online, and that's just not the same thing. And also not even just that, but people even in person, like missing each other all the fucking time, like not actually being vulnerable with each other or being present with each other. Like we're severely lacking that kind of affection that could be provided in something. So sometimes too, like maybe a dream could reveal that, like when we're desiring that and it's like something that we're confusing for something else or whatever. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that can get kind of messy because it's like the mother archetype has such a strong energy to it that like it can get pretty messy with some people.
Yeah.
And then too, like not knowing, like, because that's attention. A space tension. Attention that like really is like hard to hold, especially because like if we're kind of already sort of like doing childhood dynamics and then you know we have these strong archetypal charges, like we can try and get that fix met pretty quickly. Like this is a tension and I need it to resolve itself like immediately rather than really staying with that tension. And I wonder if like that staying with that tension could actually reveal where the desire wants to go and what it needs rather than giving it to that, like giving it to yourself right away. It's like kind of like what I think with sexual instinct and even like, you know, drugs or whatever. It's like, ooh, I feel this tension and I want to release it. Like, and so this is the thing I know is going to resolve this tension. You know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's that idea of like, what do you do when you don't resolve the tension?
That seems right. Yeah, you know, with sexual and nine overlap, like, okay, for nine, the secret is to become always angry. And I guess for sexual, the secret is to be always horny.
Angry and horny.
Do not try to reach the tension.
Right.
But like holding it is incredibly hard. I've read about this and I think I've experienced it myself, that like trying to be present with tension and stay in it rather than trying to like desperately grab. It's like, it's very easy to fall into like unconscious, very into a very unconscious state because it's difficult to hold.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like too, like once you do hold the tension, sometimes that other result can be heard. You know, it's that idea of like fasting or, you know, celibacy, whatever, that like it makes room for the spirit. So it makes room for a third thing to come. So if you like purposefully withhold yourself from something, sometimes something else can start to become clearer. But that doesn't come just by like waiting. Like you did, like you will feel the tension, it will be painful, but like it's kind of going through that in order for a different thing to make itself known and heard. This is a thought. I really don't know what that means, but it's just like, it was just a thought about all of that, and I don't know how that relates to sex and dreams, but
well,
maybe we're like, the sex in a dream is like us trying to resolve something that really shouldn't, that you should be holding the tension for rather than going for it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
That, yeah, I think you really hit the spot there. It feels like a reasonable course of exploration. I was just spacing out thinking what could be there, but it just seems blank. Still.
Well, and also, at least with like the idea of the third element, you don't know.
Really? Well, yeah. I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
Well, I could talk about love and creation.
Yeah. Because that's go ahead.
Love and creation are deeply intertwined because they both involve the act of bringing something into being. When we love, we create connections and bonds with others. And when we create, we bring new ideas, art, or even life to existence. Love can be seen as the driving force behind creation, as it often inspires us to create something beautiful or meaningful. In this sense, love and creation are both acts of self-expression and acts of service to the world around us, as they both require us to tap into our deepest passions and desires. It's a libido that brings everything into creation. The desire for power, war, sex, creation, destruction, all come from the same impulse. Those who are capable of creating are also capable of destroying.
That's very true.
And
that can be the messiness of the sexual instinct as well, because like even to just getting in touch with desires sometimes mean you have to destroy something.
When a new element comes, usually there's a way that something needs to be let go of, to give up something already existing. It's the death and birth.
And like, I mean, even just like literally when parents have a kid, they're giving up a lot. Like a person gives up a lot. Like there's a death in that. And there's deaths all the time in choices you make, in relationships and friendships and ideas, projects, art. Like there's death all the time going on too. So just even acknowledging those littler deaths that are happening, that is making room for something, you know, hopefully towards your growth, if it's a conscious thing. I like that. That was very beautiful.
Yeah. I've learned that the movement is necessary for life to happen, because if it stays still, that's like a still image, and we might want to preserve that kind of like ideal. But life happens in the movement of the energy, in the seasons that flow in our lives.
And that's why too, I think with dreams, why they happen so much in a liminal space is often they're showing the things that aren't moving, like the complexes and the projections and stuff. Like, here are the things that aren't moving you in that fluid space. And that's why too, like when you have a big dream, that it's like, whoa, it shakes you, it moves you, you know, like it really reaches you somewhere that opens something different, you know. So it's like all these littler dreams are kind of like, all right, let's get you to that place that you need to move. Here's the things that aren't moving you.
But in a way, aren't they still expressions of what is moving as well?
That's very true.
There's something to be said about in the current science and empirical age, that we've kind of disposed the archetypal images of sex. They are living in our shadow. And when we are not in touch with our instinct, it creates all kinds of symptoms in us. Kind of keeping us at war with our bodies. And
I think that's what's really important, is really noticing the symptoms of something is really where the work is. For sure. Especially in sexual instinct stuff, is like when you have such strong reactions or patterns or cycles or something, like that is a symptom of something else. And so what is that something else is kind of what we've talked about since we started the podcast. I think you should read the last paragraph.
Okay. For sure. In sexual energy transfer, the polarity becomes a vehicle for deepening the connection and expanding consciousness. The heightened polarity in between, fueled by the differences in consciousness, becomes a source of infinite potential for love and creation. It amplifies the channels through which love flows, allowing us to explore and experience love in ways that surpass the limitations of individual dimensions. This dance of love becomes a symphony of harmonious energies, weaving souls together in a grand celebration of unity and oneness. It's where we lose ourselves and find ourselves. The vulnerability, the opening of hearts and souls, becomes a powerful source of strength. Love is a force that has the power to awaken the dormant light within each being. It's a love that exists in the space between worlds, where souls meet and intertwine.
That was so beautiful. I like almost want to cry.
Yeah, me too. That was moving.
So Kaisa, when is the novel coming out?
I should make an audio novel. I could read it in a sexual nine voice.
Yes. Every time you read something, I'm like, here we go. Here we go. The sexual nine. Here she is. Oh my god.
Yeah. I definitely should write a novel. There's a lot of this shit written.
Do the audiobook with your sexual nine voice. You'd make a lot of sales.
Seriously. Oh my god, there's your desire. Get in touch with that. Grab it. Let's go. I want to see this new thing existing in the world.
Yeah, I can't believe I almost didn't say that until you, Kristen, you made me.
I know, because it's so good. I mean, and it's even just, you know, me saying to write the book, put it out in the world, like, it just reminds me as well, like, even not even looking at this in like a person versus person way, but like, when you create art and you're in that flow and you're expressing something, like, you are adding something of beauty to the world, like, you are putting it, like, it, that's so important, and I think is like a really deep need for that people have that they don't realize they need. I mean, I'm not just saying this because I'm biased that I'm an artist or anything, but like, I think, like, honestly, like, I see people getting in touch with like a creation or a craft or, you know, an artistry of some kind, and it's like, it, you really get in touch with a part of yourself too, that is expressing something and working some kind of magic that's like really beautiful. So even just that being like a thing to think about, and everything that you just said is, and why you should write your book, is essentially what I'm saying. Like, it is, it's a very, very passionate thing. And I am a strong advocate to get everyone out there to fucking do it. Like, go do it.
Go do it.
Go do it. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, you did really good, Kaisa. And that was such a perfect note to end on.
I think we did it. I feel more complete in the topic of sex in dreams now. I feel like that hit what I wanted to, like, what I imagined, but like, just didn't put the energy into getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was actually a lot of stuff that I have been wanting to express, but I just like didn't kick myself in the butt enough to do it. So I'm happy to get all of that out.
Yeah, that is very good. I mean, like, it really kind of too just gets at the core of like why we're even talking about being in touch with the instincts. And for as much dark shit that I bring in, I'm so glad that you bring in more like light and like the love aspect, because I'm like, well, you know, but you do have to suffer before you get there. The suffering does have space. We do need to remember that.
Well, but you always give so much encouragement and like profound advice and this kind of like how to gently move the process forward. So
to internally, I think it's a violent moving, but to hear that it's gentle makes me feel a bit better. I think because I'm so violent. Gentle. Okay. I think because I'm so violent towards myself about it. Like, let's go, Kristen. Like, fucking move this psychic shit. Let's.
Well, it can be a little bit like a mama bear, but like, everyone needs a mama bear.
I'll take it. I'll take that.